If this is a crime story, it turns out in the end that everybody did it.
Hi, I'm Michael Moynihan of Reason TV, and today we are with Johan Norberg, the author of Financial Fiasco, How America's Infatuation with Homeownership and Easy Money Created the Economic Crisis. Thanks for being with us, Johan.
Thank you.
So this is a general overview of what caused the financial crisis. Give us a brief description of what you're arguing in this book.
Well, it's an attempt to really have this broad perspective on different factors, including both political factors and economic financial factors. And what I'm saying is that it's a combination of cheap money, the fact that the Fed's interest rates decisions in the early 21st century made so much liquidity and easy money available. So it had to go somewhere, and it ended up in real estate, and partly because of a political will to increase home ownership, it led to an enormous real estate bubble. And then we had different financial regulations, the way we regulate credit rating agencies, capital requirements and other things, built up a whole system of securities, of bonds that were based on these real estate values, and then put in a fairly non-transparent shadow banking sector, and were given great ratings, and they became huge bestsellers around the world. And then all it took was a reduction in home values, and then everything came tumbling down.
One of the myths that seems to have arisen in the fallout here is that the Bush administration was slashing regulations left and right. You say that the opposite of that is true.
Yeah. Actually, President Clinton reduced regulation on financial markets a little bit. The Bush administration definitely increased it a lot. We got 210 new pages of regulation every day under the Bush presidency, and that's a faster pace than ever in America's history. We saw that in when it comes to these regulations, generally on financial markets, what you're allowed to do, but also when it comes to the kind of political goals that they gave people on the market. For example, the government-sponsored enterprises like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who had this whole mission to make sure that more mortgages went to people who could not afford a mortgage on the free market. And Bush increased that a lot, and he increased the proportion of loans that were supposed to go to people with low income from 50% to 56%. The number of loans that were supposed to go to people with a very low income increased from 20 to 28%. And very low income means you will not afford this house in the future.
You previously mentioned the Federal Reserve. For a lot of people, this is a difficult concept to understand, myself included. So you basically have the Federal Reserve pumping up this bubble. Explain to us how this happened, why this happened.
This happened in a situation that was very similar to where we are today. People are afraid of an economic crisis. A bubble has just been deflated. At that time, it was the dot-com bubble. And we had the 9/11 terrorist attacks in 2001. And then everybody said, well, what they're saying today, Fed's got to save us somehow. They got to make sure that there's a lot of easy money in the economy. So what they did is that they lowered interest rates dramatically, made it possible for people to borrow at a much cheaper cost, lowering the interest rate from 6.75% to 1.75% in 1 year, and continued to reduce the interest rate until it was down to 1%. And this basically means, especially if you've got a little inflation, that it's almost a negative interest rate. You basically make money by borrowing from others. It becomes expensive to hold capital. You won't get any return yourself. So instead, you need more leverage, borrowing from others. This affected financial markets a lot because then you try to find riskier asset classes and you try to borrow more to invest in them to get a return. But it also affects households because you can suddenly see that, oh, my mortgage is much less expensive. If I get an adjustable rate, it means that it feels like I'm getting a house for free, as someone put it when they bought
a second house. Yeah, you tell a story in the book of somebody in Atlanta, correct, who says, I feel like I'm getting a house for free, and actually ends up getting a third property on an interest-only mortgage. This, as you point out, was driven not only to save markets and after the dot-com bubble, but there's political interference here. Tell us a little about how politics played in this obsession with homeownership.
Well, Well, it's an American legend, a myth almost, the American dream of having a home of your own. And it's a good one. And as a Swede, I really admire that part of the American dream. But the whole idea from the beginning was that you are working hard to earn this, to make sure that you earn your own home. But this suddenly changed with the political idea of making sure that people get a home first, and then we'll try to get, well, people can even refinance by getting a second mortgage because the price of the house has increased a lot. But we've got then this battery of policies that were aimed at making sure that more people enter the housing market. We've got deductions on the interest rates. We've got government insurances to make sure that they'll pay if you cannot pay. We've got some pressure on private lenders to make sure that they lend more to people with a low income. But specifically, we've got the government-sponsored enterprises, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the whole point of which was to make sure that more people entered the market, more people got a mortgage. And these were not small corporations. They were some of the world's largest.
You, in your book, say this is primarily a bipartisan thing. This is something that everyone is trying to benefit from politically. Is that, give us an idea of, like, you know, who is fundamentally responsible? Is it a both party thing? Is that actually right?
Yeah, if this is a crime story, it turns out in the end that everybody did it. Everybody had an interest in inflating this bubble because it was like apple pie. Everybody loved this from left to right. It's home ownership, it's property rights, it's something for the right to make sure that people own something for themselves and they become citizens in that regard. For the left, it was to oppose discrimination, to make sure that even the poorest of the poor could own a house of their own. And they were involved, all of them. And now they're trying to blame one another. Now they're looking at just the parts of the pieces of the puzzle where the other side made mistakes. And then they try to pretend that they did not do this.
Let's take this out a bit further. So we have an American housing bubble. We have a Fed that is creating incredibly cheap money. How is this spreading out globally? You have a chapter in the book, or you have a section in the book where you talk about the collapse, for instance, of Iceland, which is a colossal collapse. And this is rocking markets across the globe. How is that happening?
Yeah. Well, you can say, as someone who was involved in this, American banks and lenders they did bad things, and it's strange that they really could create all these securities based on these very risky mortgages. But even stranger is the fact that others bought this and took on these risks, and that was the part that really made this global. The fact that banks and governments all around the world, they wanted a piece of the action. So they bought mortgage-backed securities. And that means that everybody was so incredibly exposed to this bubble when it began to deflate.
The final chapter in your book is called Tomorrow Capitalism, with a question mark. What does this mean for capitalism, for free markets, for laissez-faire economics? The foundations are being shaken right now, and we have people that are nominally right of center saying, hey, this is the market's fault. Yeah. Are we seeing like an enormous crisis in capitalism? And tell us a little bit about the last chapter in the book.
Well, yeah. Yeah, we are witnessing a huge crisis of capitalism, and especially when it comes to our vision of what capitalism is about. Because we do know that people on the market have made colossal mistakes. Banks and investment banks have made bizarre mistakes that they should have been able to foresee. So obviously it's easy to blame them for what happened, and I certainly am one of those who blame them. So therefore we see a backlash all over the world. The problem is that people don't really realize that the regulators, the central banks and the politicians, they were inflating the bubble just as eagerly. They only had a bigger pump, so they could do it even more dramatically. And that's something that we're missing now, when people think that the response is to bail out all the misguided investments, to regulate financial markets even more. And that's building up problems for the future. One of the biggest problems, I think, is that we're now giving all the actors on the financial markets an idea that now they've definitely got a government guarantee in the future, because the government will always step in and bail them out if there's a mistake, if there's a problem somewhere. And then we'll see worse risks.
Johan Norberg, author of Financial Fiasco, which is out now and can be purchased online at Amazon.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
For Reason TV, I'm Michael Moynihan.